and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
Thank you, Alan. It's good to have scripture read because it resonates through all of our hearts. Let me pray. Lord, may our hearts be open to what you want to teach us from this amazing psalm today. Lead us and guide us. Amen. We're starting today on a new series reflecting on selected psalms and entitled The God of All in the Whole of Life. It's my privilege to start with Psalm 145, which has been just read to us by Alan, with the theme of praise. I was brought up with my cousin Ruth in St. Helens in Lancashire. The families lived close by, and we did a lot together, as we were only 4 months apart in age. When I went on to university and began my life travels, Ruth remained in St. Helens, within a mile or two of where she was born, attending the chapel down the road where my parents were married and where I was christened, where her grandfather and sister were lay ministers. She still lives there today and posted on Facebook about 5 adult baptisms in their church with videos of the highlights. I spoke to her a couple of weeks ago. My heart is full, she said, and I just have to praise God. 2 of the 5 were her adult grandchildren, baptized by their fathers. The three others were asylum seekers and recent citizens who had made the church their home. Numbers attending the church, which is in one of the most deprived areas of St. Helens, are growing. With residents and with people who've come in from outside, asylum seekers too. Their kids' work is bursting at the seams with 40 or 50 kids every week. Former members of the club are now playing for the rugby league team, the ladies' team, and they come in and help as well. And you saw that enormous South Pacific forward who plays for St. Helens as well and came along to help Ruth one Friday. At 76, she's still involved in the kids' work as well. Church structure is somewhat informal, it's fair to say. Ruth seems to be at the center of it somehow, but God is blessing them big time, and they are giving him the praise. Psalm 145 is the first of six psalms of unadulterated praise with which the book of Psalms rounds off. It's a very powerful text, worth reading again. And I would like to reflect today on three aspects. Firstly, who praises God. Secondly, what they praise him for. And thirdly, how God responds. Let's start with the who. We praise God as individuals. The psalm begins with these words, I will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Wow, that's a pretty high bar, isn't it? Does praise permeate every fibre of our being? This is about the heart. Life will not always be easy. My cousin Ruth was left with two small girls in her late 20s when her husband walked out. But by God's grace, she moved forward. Her daughters, bless them, still send her Father's Day messages because they say she was a mother and a father to them. But I've seen her faithfulness and her thankfulness over the years. And she can say from the depths of her heart that her heart is full. Praise is about so much more than singing songs, isn't it? It's about allowing God to take charge of us. Every waking hour, every situation. And as we praise God, he changes us and he changes our situation. When Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, people knew that he had been with God. When the disciples came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, the other disciples could see the difference. But for us, this involves making time to be with God and to allow him to transform us to be the people he wants us to be. Some disciplines help. Without a dedicated time each day to be with God, it's hard to deepen the relationship. With demanding jobs, this space can be hard to find. In busy families, it can be difficult. But if you are married, chat to your spouse as to how you can each create time for God. Irrespective, try to reflect at the end of each day and ask God to show you three things to be thankful for in that day and pray about them. If you do family prayers, and I hope you do, go around the meal table in the evening and get each family member to say what they're thankful for that day. And as God transforms us, our situations can be transformed, even when circumstances remain challenging. We're called to be salt and light in our families, in our neighborhoods, and in our workplaces. If we can enter each day with praise in our hearts, you and I will be different, and our circumstances will seem different. Our friends and colleagues will see a different person. By nature, some of us are half full people, and others are half empty, but this is not about that. It's about walking each day with the Spirit of God in our hearts, about seeing the positives rather than the negatives in each situation, about having a praising rather than a critical spirit in all we do or we say. Do you naturally praise or criticize? Do I? Of course, stuff gets in the way. You might remember the verse at the end of Romans 7 from when we studied it, where Paul, in exasperation, when he does what is wrong rather than what's right, says, "Wretched man that I am." But the amazing words of verse 7 of Psalm 145 remind us that the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. We can be our own worst critics and be riven by guilt. This verse reminds us that we are loved rather than judged, with a Lord who is indeed slow to anger. The woman caught in adultery was sent away, to the amazement of the critics, with the words simply, "Sin no more." And the Lord says just the same to us. And we can praise God for his love and his forgiveness. Don't let the devil get you down. You are loved by God. Do you know that? Yes? Know it and live it. It's a truth. And it's so precious. Our circumstances can be very tough. But Psalm 23 reminds us that even though we walk through the darkest valley, that even there God is with us. We can fear no evil, and our cup can indeed overflow. I reread the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1 in preparation for today, as she wept before God for a son, and the transformation as God granted her wish. Tears and praise often go hand in hand. When David was born, Hannah could praise God with all her heart. We're very different personalities, and how we praise God will be very different. For some, it's in the middle of a charismatic praise service. For others, quietly at home. For others, on a mountaintop. For others, painting or sketching. For me, it's out in the open air. Don't feel the need to conform, but express your praise in the way that God leads you, and be tolerant of others. King David's wife got very embarrassed, but in dancing in the streets in praise of after one particular victory. Providing it's done with decorum, we should be able to raise our arms, to dance, to wave flags, or simply sit silently in a time of praise and worship. Because we praise God as his people. Verse 10 says, "All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might." Gathering together on a Sunday is one way in which we do this, in our sung worship. But we also need to proclaim what God is doing in our lives. I can remember one amazing service in Christchurch shortly after we reformed. I think it was early 2004, when one of the congregation said they wanted to say what God had done in their lives. They got up and spoke. When they sat down, seven or eight others followed them up the front. It was amazing. And the way God was moving was simply amazing. James Sequire was due to preach. His sermon was deferred till the following week. He was very good about it. I'm not sure Andrew would thank us for doing that every week. But the occasions when we need to do so, not just in this setting, but in our small groups, with our friends, and, you know, with our work colleagues as well. Stories are very powerful. I'm told with sensitivity, if it's a reality in our lives, we can just touch the lives of others by how God is touching our lives. The prayer chain is one place where you can ask for prayer. Sign up for it if you're not on it already. But as well as asking for prayer, it should also be a place where thanks are given for prayers answered. It's a real privilege for Jean and I to be part of the prayer ministry team and to pray with people. And a real joy when they have a quiet word in the subsequent week to say that God has answered their prayer. Now, share with your neighbor today, and that's the person next to you in church, one thing you want to give thanks for, or to praise God for, today or this week. You've got a couple of minutes for it, so turn around, face your neighbor, twos or threes, Right, I'll just bring you back together again. Do that every week. Over coffee, as you meet people in Sainsbury's, as you walk through town, as you meet your neighbours and friends. Tell them what God is doing and praise God together. Because we also praise God with all of creation. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name. I'm sure you know what today is, don't you? It's International Dawn Chorus Day. It's about 6 hours late to tell you. But tomorrow or Tuesday would be do just as well to listen to the Dawn Chorus. I love to see and to listen to all the birds singing at this time of year. There's a wren on the left there. You can hear wrens at 100 meters. They're about 10 grams, and I think gram per volume, they're the loudest bird in Britain. And the one on the right is a yellowhammer. Its song can be verbalized as a little bit of bread and no cheese. But they don't just seem to sing to attract a mate. They sing because on a Sunday they just want to give thanks to God. And it's a good reminder to me, certainly, as I wander around with my binoculars and camera, just of the amazing creation around me. Jean and I went to Peru a few years ago to visit Paul and Ruth Turner. And we spent a few nights in the Peruvian jungle. And on the first night, we heard this most amazing noise about 4 a.m. We thought, what's that? It was the howler monkeys, who an hour before dawn start howling. And it's because they can see the first glimpse of the dawn. And by the second morning, we loved it, because we had to get up at dawn anyway, and this was a much better alarm clock than our phones. Because, again, they're pretty unprepossessing, to be honest, if you look at them. But they could howl to their heart's content. So, take time to listen to the dawn chorus. Take time to look at what God has created. Join one of my early morning bird walks in Spring Connect. You can come just to one if you want. And there's coffee and croissants afterwards. The original psalm was written as an acrostic, with each verse beginning with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. With this as a background, the psalmist suggested there were many things we could praise God for. All that he's done, his mighty acts, his amazing majesty and splendor, his power, his amazing works and his great deeds, his goodness. He's good to all and has compassion on all he's made, slow to anger, and rich in love. Good words for each of us, that, isn't it? Are we slow to anger and rich in love? His righteousness, his sovereignty in the glory of God's kingdom, his faithfulness. He is trustworthy. We can trust God. And his providence. God is near to all who call on him. This is the psalmist list, but yours may be a bit different. It's worth prayerfully reflecting on which qualities of God you particularly want to praise him for. Sit quietly and with a piece of paper. You could create an acrostic for yourself. As you do so, reflect on each word or phrase you've written and praise God for that quality and of examples in your life where you've experienced it. I began to create a list for myself. I got to F. Awesome in all you do, beautiful, compassionate, delightful. Extol you forever and ever, faithful God. Now, I'll try to get through to Z in time for my life group on Thursday, and I'll share the full list there. Though I might cheat on X. Exciting or something. But worth doing. But how does God respond? Peace and praise is not a one-way street. As we hand over ourselves to God, he enters our lives in amazing ways, as we heard in the story of Hannah earlier. He restores the weary. The Lord upholds all who fail and lifts up all who are bowed down, it says in verse 14. In Matthew 11, Jesus said to me, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God walks with you and I every step of the way. He's our loving Father. He knows when we find things tough, and he's ready and willing to restore our souls. Always remember that. Tears and praise are two sides of the same coin. God is there for you. He feeds the hungry. If you give them their food at the proper time, you satisfy the desires of every living thing. He knows what we need, and he's ready to meet our needs. It's a difficult verse, though, for those starving because of oppression or climate change or reduced international aid. He meets the expectant. Verses 18 and 19 say, "Is near to all who call him. He hears their cry and saves them." When we are parents or grandparents, I find, our ears are super tuned to our child's cry. We hear a child crying and react if it's ours and breathe a sigh of relief if it's not. It's the same with God. You and I are his children, and he hears us and responds. Just trust him to do so. He protects the believers. The Lord watches over all who love him. And he has our backs. My dear mum was fiercely protective of me. At school, it was always that other child's fault, or the teacher who had misunderstood. When I was driving and just missed someone, it was always their driving at fault. It's fair to say it's not always an accurate summary of the situation, but I always felt secure. As a loving Father, God looks over us and has our backs, even in the most difficult of situations. We've been praying particularly for DR Congo over the last 3 months. You'll have met Charlie, our daughter-in-law's parents, last summer, Justin and Emmanuel. And where they live was taken over by rebels 3 months ago. And it's been tough. But we've prayed for them, and I know many in the church have prayed for them. And in a tough situation, they feel God is there with them. And Justin asked you and I to thank you for your prayers, but keep on praying. In whatever situation you're in, however challenging it is, you can trust God. These are amazing promises. So, is your heart full? How is your praise life? What are you deeply thankful to God for? And have you told him? Are you setting time aside as an individual or as a family unit just to be in God's presence, to thank him for his faithfulness each day? Are you entering your workplace or your regular meeting places with a spring in your step? Not because it's easy, but because you know that God is with you there. Are you sharing what God is doing in your life with others, in the fellowship, in your small group, with your friends? Stories are really powerful, as I mentioned earlier, and listening and praising God for what he's doing in theirs. Do you know the reality of the promises at the end of this psalm, that God is with you even when times are tough? Let me pray for you. Lord, fill us with your love. Fill us with a real sense of praise for you. Lord, thank you that you walk with us through the dark times, that you care for us. Thank you as we shed tears that we can also respond in praise as you answer our prayers. Thank you that you're with us in our family units, you're with us as individuals. Lord, thank you we can share with others and testify of the great things you have done. Lord, strengthen us and keep us. Lord, may we walk in your power and in your strength day by day. And may we praise you in every situation of our lives. Amen.